Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining on this Erev Shabbos Zoom to get us into the mood for Shabbos and sort of go into Shabbos with a little bit of Divrei Torah. Just to begin, as we always do, with our three questions. Question number one: I have a close chaver from my time in high school, from MTA days, who is a rav in a shul in Eretz Yisrael in Ramat Beit Shemesh. And his shul has been holding minyanim outside as soon as the government recommended doing that. So last Shabbos, they were able to have a minyan outdoors with social distancing. And they went out to daven shachris. And right before Kriyas HaTorah was about to start, it started to rain. That's part of the danger of having minyanim outside, is that you're subject to the elements. So they had to skip Kriyas HaTorah at Shachris, because they couldn't bring out a Torah, obviously, in the rain. So their shaila is, what should they do at Mincha? At Mincha and Shabbos, should they just go read the entire parsha that they missed that morning? Or do you read the regular Mincha, Kriyas HaTorah? How do you handle Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha for that situation? That was shaila number one. Shaila number two. I got an email today from a fellow that says like this: Hi, Rabbi Liebowitz, I hope you and your family are doing well. I was discussing with someone the following question. In the case, Reuven allowed Shimon to view Reuven's social media account, for example, Facebook. So essentially, Shimon doesn't have an account, or he doesn't like to use his own account. But he likes to see what's going on Facebook. He likes to troll on Facebook and see what's going on. So he decided to ask his friend for a Facebook account. People do this. There are people that don't have, I've never done this, but there are people that don't have Facebook accounts that just, you know, they ask their sister-in-law or something, can I use your Facebook account? And then they'll troll around and see what's going on. The problem is, there are some people, I'm not going to read the rest of the email, I'll just say it out. There are some people that have a setting where they choose who gets to view their posts. So Levi might have a setting where he doesn't want his posts open to the entire world. His posts are open to a select group of people that he has to pre-approve. Now, if Reuven is going to be using Shimon's account, and Shimon is pre-approved by Levi to see what Levi is posting, question is Reuven allowed to use Shimon's account? Because Reuven was not invited by Levi to see what Levi was posting. Levi put his settings in such a way to dafka only share with Shimon, not to share it with Reuven. So that's a shaila. Are you allowed to borrow someone's password and someone's Facebook account if you want to just see the stories that are going on, or see what people are talking about, or whatever? I have no idea why people go on Facebook. For whatever the reasons are, that I don't know, you feel like you haven't been wasting enough time lately. You need something to enhance your batala sessions. So for whatever reason you want to do it, are you allowed to use someone else's account? That is shaila number two. Shaila number three. I got a call this week from from someone who runs a preschool, who runs like a playgroup, and she said, "I want to talk to you about the letter that you signed." And I said, okay, which one? I've been signing lots of letters. You know, the one about social distancing, because that's what all the rabbis are saying. The one about social distancing, because that's what all the doctors are saying. The one about social distancing, because that's what the government is saying. I don't know. We've signed all these letters to whatever it takes, whatever gets people to do the right thing. You know, so I said, what are you talking about? They said, no. The letter you signed about preschools. So I said, I don't recall any letter that I signed about preschool. So they emailed it to me. And there was a letter that went out, and it is signed by Community Rabbanim of Far Rockaway and the Five Towns. So we have now confirmed that Valley Stream is not officially in Far Rockaway and the Five Towns, because I never saw this letter before it was sent to me. But the letter is signed by Community Rabbanim of Far Rockaway and the Five Towns, makes it very clear of exactly what percentage of tuition parents are obligated to pay when their kids haven't been able to attend school, but this dafka written for preschools, for play groups, not written more institutionalized types of schools, not written for elementary schools or high schools, just for play groups, and where the payment goes to the mora. And it has not unreasonable guidelines, you know, guidelines that make sense. I could certainly imagine coming to this agreement at some point. So the question the person had was, I later found found out that a number of significant Talmidei Chachamim were involved in crafting this email, and they just thought it would be simpler to sign it rabbis of the five towns in Far Rockaway. So the question was, if this was what was put out by, let's say, a dozen rabbis in the five towns in Far Rockaway, and this is the determination they made, and certainly many, many people are going to follow this determination, so is the Tzibor now kafuf to this? Is this like the kind of psak that, like, look, I wasn't consulted on it, but if that's what was decided, then that's what was decided, and therefore everyone has to listen. Does each parent get to decide whether they listen to it? What do you do? How do you handle the situation? Should each parent, go to a Beis Din? How exactly is this supposed to work? So that is Shaila number three, and I got that a lot of times this week. That's why I'm bringing that. That took up a good portion of my week. So if you ever want to really waste the rabbi's time, sign his name on someone else's letter and make him answer for it. So that'll be a good way to make sure that he uses a lot of time. It's an interesting question anyway. It's an interesting question in terms of tuitions in general. So those are our three shilas for this week. Before we get to the Dvar Torah this week, I just want to share with you another email that I got just this morning relating to the beautiful Shloshim event that we had last night on Zoom to commemorate Dovi Herman, to commemorate Mordechai David ben Shmuel Chaim and Nur Hensha, must have been a dozen speakers speaking about Dovi from all different angles, friends and brother and brother-in-law and father-in-law and all his kids and his wife and a partner at his firm. And it was just to see all the different facets and all the different ways that people appreciated this gentle, brilliant, person, humble, incredible person that we were all privileged to know. So I got an email from someone that reads as follows, and I thought it was worth reading. I'm not going to read the name of the person who sent it to me upon his request, but he writes, "I attended the Zoom Shloshim for David last night. I didn't really know David, but saw him over the years in Hillcrest, ran into him in North Woodmere from time to time, and I'm friends with his brother Ellie. A powerful event that brought me to tears. As an attorney myself, as much as we talk about our personal lives in the office, I always wonder if they really understand who we are and where we come from and what being an Orthodox Jew means. David worked at the same firm for 16 years, so his colleagues probably got to know him and his family better than most, and they may have shared in celebrations as well. I counted at least 33 attorneys, and probably a lot more, from his firm on the Zoom last night." And he puts in parentheses, "most in jacket and ties at that hour too. I can only imagine what they were thinking being on a Zoom with over 300 Jews at 10 p.m. on a Thursday night." And by the way, if you looked at who was on it, it wasn't 300, it was 300 Zoom accounts. Many of them had 5, 6 people, entire families listening in, people who felt close to Dovi, people who feel close to the family. It must have been probably more likely it was about 1,000 people that were listening. And he continues, "the common thought must have been, David must be a special person, and the Jewish nation must be a special, special people. In my opinion, the event last night was a massive Kiddush Hashem, which was a befitting way to remember David, who, from what I've gathered over the past month, seemed to have loved and be loved by all. I hope it was a nechama to the family." So I just want to thank the letter writer, but really to thank the Herman family, because this is such a painful thing. And to open themselves up like that and share their sorrow with the community, their feelings with the community, their memories with the community, because they recognize that although they are suffering by far most acutely, we're all suffering, and we all need that sense of nechama. And I think for many people it was a first step toward feeling a sense of nechama over such a grave loss. I think that the letter also highlights something that that maybe we should appreciate a little bit more about our life experiences. most people, successful people in their professions, if you had to give a hesped, it would sound like the hesped that that David's partner gave last night, which was very beautiful, talking about his expertise in biology and in what was it? I don't even, genetics maybe, and in and then the law degree from University of Pennsylvania, and how that enabled him to work on such complicated cases, and you know, cases for pharmaceutical companies that were worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and for most people, like, that would be the best hesped. That's it, meaning that's the accomplishment. But you know, taking in all of the different angles last night, to hear about the warmth, the humor, the sensitivity, and to see that with 30 lawyers from his firm, who he spent most of his waking hours with on the Zoom, that was less than 10% of the people that were on the Zoom. It was less than 10% of the people that wanted to hear more about him, because he was part of a community. He was part of a community of people who loved him and who will continue to love him and will continue to love his family and to take care of his family to the best of our ability. And that's something that we're all privileged to benefit from. The idea that that the center of our lives, no matter how accomplished one might be educationally, professionally, where I think, I forget which speaker pointed it out, but one of the speakers pointed out that, maybe it was Noam, I don't remember. Someone pointed out that all the talk of the brilliance is, for most people might be the greatest compliment, but that's not really where it's at. The brilliance was God-given, but it's what he did with that brilliance. Like Elie Wiesfeld was talking about how, you know, when he was playing card games with his friends, he could have easily won every single time. And when he chose to win, he won. And when he chose, because he was 10 steps ahead of everybody else. So he was able, but that's not what he used his brilliance for. He used his brilliance to connect to people, not to put people down, not to just to create a sense and to take advantage of this wonderful sense of connection and warmth and love that we have in our communities and that we're privileged to have in our families. So on that level, it's a Kiddush Hashem. On another level, it's also brought to mind a new reality that maybe I didn't think clearly about. My father brought this to my attention earlier this week, and then Avi Kahn mentioned it again. But I'll say it in the context of a Dvar Torah, from the first of this week's Parshios. You know, the pasuk says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe acharei Mos shnei bnei Aaron bekarvasam lefnei Hashem vayamusu." That Hashem spoke to Moshe after the death of Aaron's two sons in front of Hashem. Vayamusu, and they died. Well, if it was after the death, obviously they died. Why the double expression that it's after the death and then they died? So the Gemara Maseches Moed Katan tells us that Amar Leil Rav Yochanan, they told Rav Yochanan, Nach Nafshe to Rabbi Chanina. The Rabbi Chanina had passed away. Kara Ale Tlesar Itztali Milsa. He tore 13 expensive garments. He felt such anguish over that patira. Amar Azul Gavra Dava Mistafina Mine. That the man who I was afraid of, the man who is such an intellectual giant, such a person of elevation in spirituality, that it inspired a sense of yiras haromimus when you were in his presence, he's gone. So the Gemara says, Shaini Rabbanan, kivan so the Gemara asks, wait a second, I thought there's only kriya b'shas chimum. You're only supposed to tear kriya at the moment around the time of death when the pain is most acutely felt, and this was much later. And he started tearing kriya. So the Gemara says, "Shaini Rabbanan, kivan de kol shaita mit krish matayu kishas chimum dami." That the Rabbanan are different because even long after they're gone, the people are still talking about the chidushim that they said in learning, and they realize again what they've lost. Because the people are saying the chidushim they said in learning, they realize, oh, we're never going to have such chidushim again. We're never going to have such teachings again. So it's another shas chimum. It's another time of avelus. And I can't help but think, as we look at the light at the end of the tunnel, at the possibility, although it's not here yet, and we have to stress that, it's not here yet, but the possibility of eventually and slowly coming out of this tkufa, this period of social distancing, we realize that there's going to be a time where we all return to shul. And when we do that, and we start interacting regularly with our friends, and there's someone missing, that's going to be a new shas chimum. It's going to be a new avelus. Meaning, for the Herman family, the avelus is felt most acutely every single day. Every single day. Because their daily experience is entirely affected, entirely changed. For most of us, our daily experience involves our family and not that many people from the outside anyway. So we intellectually know what happened. We know what happened. But we're going to feel it in an entirely different way once we go back to regular interactions. And that's going to be a challenge for us, even as we deal with the excitement and the energy of being able to start normalizing in some way, start living the like we were always trained to live our lives. But at the same time, we're going to have almost like a realization of what the cost of all of this was, and where that left us. So that's something that just came to mind from the event last night. As you know, it was not that Dovi ever left the center of our attention, but the reality of the situation just set in just a little bit more, and became more real in through that event. Now I want to share with you one more Dvar Torah, but before let me share with you one more Dvar Torah in Parshas Kedoshim. Not a long Dvar Torah. I'm not going to keep anyone too long on Erev Shabbos. Maybe I already did, but Parshas Kedoshim. The pasuk tells us, "Daber al kol adas bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem kedoshim tihiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem." That we have a command that we are supposed to be kedoshim. We are supposed to be holy because Hashem is holy. And Rashi comments, "Melamed shenemra parsha zu b'hakel," that this parsha was said where we were all gathered together, where all of us were together. Because most of the critical elements of Torah are found in this parsha. So what exactly does that mean, that most of the critical elements of Torah, rov gufei Torah are tuluyin ba, depend on this parsha, hang in this parsha? So I saw a beautiful explanation that I'm going to alter just a little bit from the Shemin Atov. The Shemin Atov was a rav in Brooklyn, by the name of Rav Weinberger. I forget his Dov Zev Weinberger. He was a Rav of the Young Israel of Brooklyn, which was in Williamsburg. Back in the days where you could have a Young Israel in Williamsburg. So he wrote a number of volumes called Shemin HaTov on Parshos HaShavua. Beautiful drushes beautiful drushes, creative. So he suggests the following. He says, maybe it's Dafka highlighting three psukim that we have, one after the other, that all conclude with the phrase Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That, you know, Rov Gufei Torah Tuluyin Ba is maybe Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, Rabbi Farber tells me, Rabbi Bernard Weinberger. So the Torah is cluing us in to what the Gufei Torah are by concluding a pasuk with Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And the three psukim he refers to are the pasuk of Kedoshim Tiyu, the pasuk of Ish Imo Va'aviv Tira'u, and it also ends Kenya Hashem Elokeichem, that one should have Mora Av Ve'em, and the pasuk of Al Tifnu El Alilim, not to turn toward idolatry, also concludes Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's what he points out. Now, where he takes it is going to be a little different than where I take it. So let's take it as follows. Maybe the Torah is telling us three different levels that a person can live his life on, that a person can exist on, that a person can view his life's mission as being. And they're all valuable, but there are higher goals for some people. There's a broader way of thinking for some people than there are for others. You have one pasuk, Al Tifnu El Alilim. I have to serve God. How do I define my service of God? I'm going to stay away from the bad stuff. Avodah Zarah is the opposite. Avodah Zarah is evil. Avodah Zarah is the bad stuff. So I'm going to define myself by what I'm not. I'm going to define my accomplishment by what I avoid. What do you do? How do you live a healthy life? Well, I stay away from. I stay away from fatty foods. I don't smoke. That's a madrega, and it's important to do all of those things. That's one level of existence. Then there's another level of existence. Ish imo va'aviv tira'u. A person can have a sense of where he comes from, a sense of tradition, a sense of generations past. As Rav Asher Weiss pointed out this week, I think it was this week, I don't even know what, you know, one day from the next or one week from the next, but I think it was this week, that when talking about, you know, it's hard to imagine, there are people out there in the world that are saying, you know, it's only the older generation is vulnerable to this. So let the young people go out and do what they want. Why do we have to worry so much about the older generation? So Rav Asher Weiss had pointed out this week, in Judaism, the old people are not our past. Old people are our future. They're our Einei Ha'eda. They're our guides. They're who we look up to. They're how we help define how we're supposed to live our life. And that's a higher level of living than I just stay away from. No, I'm defined by a profound sense of tradition. I'm defined by Ish Imo Vaviv Tira'u. I'm defined by where I come from. That's a very high level of existence. But then there's an even higher level. And that's Kedoshim Tihiyu. That not only do I stay away from the bad stuff, not only do I maintain a tradition that was handed down, and that's no small thing. We've pointed out in the past, Rav Schachter was asked last summer in the Smichat Chaver question-answer session, which, by the way, if I could just make a plug, on Tuesday night, Smichas Chaver is starting a new semester, and it's going to be very enjoyable limud about the mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. But Rav Schachter was asked in Israel in the Smichas Chaver question-answer session, what's been your greatest accomplishment of life? They ask the Rosh Yeshiva, who's pretty much taken Klal Yisrael on his shoulders for decades, and who's had thousands of Talmidim that are being mashpia on tens of thousands and hundreds of the millions of people throughout the world. What's your greatest accomplishment in life? And as I said, my greatest accomplishment in life is that I'm part of a Mesorah, I'm part of a chain that goes back many, many generations, and I raised my children to be religious Jews. So I didn't break the chain. The chain didn't end with me. I didn't break the chain. That's my greatest accomplishment. Ish Imo Vav Tiro is no small thing. But there may be something higher. Kedoshim Tiyu. Not just not to break the chain. Build on the chain. Make it a stronger chain. Think of not only staying away from that which is bad, not only maintaining that which is worth maintaining, but of building on that which we were given. On creating an elevated sense of living, on creating a sense of Kedusha. I think in a microcosm, in a narrow sampling, our experience in this whole corona reality and the process that we're going through reflects these three levels. That, you know, it started off, and for some people it remained, just staying away from the virus. From having the virus, giving the virus, the bad stuff. There's something terrible out there that we're trying to avoid. And that's why we're living in this reality. And that's the purpose of living in this reality. We don't like it, but we have to avoid this terrible, terrible thing. And then we get to a different madrega. We get to a madrega where it's not just that I don't like this reality and that I'm trying to avoid something terrible. I'll make the best of it. I'll live with it. I'll figure out a way. This is the new reality. This is the new normal, we've heard. The new normal. And that's what it's supposed to be. We're going to try to normalize. We're going to try to maintain. We're going to maintain a sense of sanity. Right? We spoke from the very beginning about the importance of getting dressed every day. People are making fun of me that I wear a tie every single day. Like I'm the last person on earth, except for those 30 lawyers on the Zoom last night that wears a tie every single day. But just maintaining a certain sense of normalcy. And that's a madrega, and it's important. It's critically important to maintain our sanity. But then there's another level. And that's Kedoshim Tiyu. There's a level where we can look at what we're faced with. And it's not something we asked for. It's not something we would ever ask for again. It's not something we want. But how to make something better of ourselves from this. How to find some of the things that we've discovered about ourselves, about our families, and build on that. And take that forward with us after this is all over. After we're able to adjust back into regular society and regular interactions. You know, it occurred to me last week, we were taking a walk on Shabbos afternoon, as we should and as you all should, get some fresh air and go out, but I would be remiss if I didn't warn everybody, please, 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 it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. That's what they're telling us, at least. It's supposed to be a beautiful day tomorrow. Everyone's going to be outside. There's going to be lots of walking around, and it's going to be so great to see people. Please, 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 please maintain the social distancing. Please stay at a safe distance from each other. We can't afford to take a step backwards in this. We see the light at the end. We're so close. We don't know how close, but it feels a lot closer. Let's please, please, please go out, enjoy, be able to see people. Maintain the sense of distance. If you can wear a mask, that's probably best as well. But enjoy the nice day. But last week, back to where I was, last week we were walking outside. So how are we walking? Our family was walking together because that's the only people you're allowed to walk with. And we were walking toward my sister's house to see my sister in her backyard, to hang out with them a little bit. And on the way, two different people stopped us. You know, we said good Shabbos and said, wow, like I've never seen all of you together. Like, okay, now for us, for the last 6 weeks, I mean, it's all we've been is together. But that was a jarring comment. I've never seen all of you together. And I was thinking, well, when would you have seen all of us together? We're never all together. Meaning what? Like, I'll tell you exactly when we're all together. When we have to smile for a picture. Okay, everyone get together. Come here, come here, come here, come here. Just 2 seconds. Smile. Okay, now you can go. That's the extent of when we're all together. And many of us are finding that it's really nice to spend time with family. It's really nice to be together a little bit. It's really nice to be able to strengthen that family unit. And there are going to be lots and lots of messages that we could take out of this. But that time that we get to spend, that connection that we get to make, with all the joking around and the making fun of each other, whatever happens in your homes, maybe that's just in my home and everyone else is just soft and sweet the whole time. It's that builds us. That's a Kedoshim Tiyu moment. That's something that's going to make us greater, and something that's going to be with us for the rest of our lives. It's something that's going to stick with us, or it should. We should see to it that it sticks with us for the rest of our lives. We should all be zochi. Now, I want to start a campaign at the next rabbi's meeting that we have to start Shabbos Sheni Shel Galios. I can't just have one day of Shabbos. We need 2 days of Shabbos. So I'm going to lead the campaign for Shabbos Sheni Shel Galios. But we'll see how quickly it takes till I get Purim Chayrim. But, you know, let's enjoy a beautiful Shabbos. Enjoy the beautiful day. Enjoy our beautiful families. Enjoy our time together. Enjoy the Ruchnius that is Shabbos. Enjoy the davening. That even if it is biyachidus, say every word slowly, connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, enjoy Hashem's embrace, and realize that we've gotten past that period of Al Tifnu El Ha'alilim. We're still doing it. We're still staying away from the bad stuff, but we have a higher purpose. We should be past Ish Ima Vaviv Tira'u as well, the period of maintaining normalcy. We're ready for that final period of Kedoshim Tiyu, of building something positive and figuring out what it is that we're going to be able to hold on to from this most unusual experience. I wish everyone from the bottom of my heart a beautiful Shabbos. I look forward to seeing as many of you as I can on walks tomorrow. And everyone should just stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane, and have a wonderful and happy Shabbos. Take care, everybody.
Shkoyach.